We are going to move just a little farther through the book of 1 Corinthians. There's been many problems in the church in Corinth. Paul, we've dealt with some of those in the past few months. There has been the problem of unity, and Paul appealed to them to be unified in their faith, that they were in Christ. There weren't some of Apollos, some of Cephas, some of Paul, some of Christ. They were all one in Christ. And so he made an appeal for unity. He's made an appeal on his own reliance on God's wisdom and on his reliance on the Spirit. And he's talked about foundations for living. And I kind of want to begin there tonight a little bit in that. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to turn real quick to Romans chapter 5. And just want to read a couple of verses there from Romans chapter 5. It says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace." That introduction, I'm really interested in that in our dealings tonight with our passage. That introduction by faith, not by works, not by law, not by anything else, by faith, we've had this introduction into God's grace and his forgiveness and his goodness. And that introduction, it's like any other introduction. You have an introduction in when you get a job. It's called an indoctrination, or you have an introduction to that new job and you go through these videos of how it's going to go. You start a college course and you have a syllabus. It's an introduction into the course. I met my wife in second grade. I had an introduction to beauty and longing. But you have an introduction to things, and things should grow from there, right? And move forward. And so that introduction we've had by faith into this salvation that's been brought to us, that's what the Apostle Paul has been talking about. They've been saved by grace. They've to live that life, not for physical things. In fact, he goes on to talk about in chapter 3, the foundations for living. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men." It's a spiritual journey. It's a walk with Christ. Christ isn't here on the planet with us, but nonetheless, it's a walk with Christ. We've been introduced by faith into this salvation and this grace and this goodness that God has brought to us. And it's a spiritual walk with Christ. We are no longer to walk in the ways of the flesh. And that's been one of the big problems with the Corinthian church. They want the things of the flesh. They want a new marriage. They want things that are they think they're able to handle. And they are maybe a little bit proud and think, I've got freedom. I can do this. I can do that. I can do what I want. And Paul's talking to them about this spiritual walk is different than they walked before, according to the flesh. And he says in chapter 3, "I can't speak to you as men, as spiritual men, but as to men of the flesh, as infants in Christ." You've had the introduction. I guess we would say, as my mom used to say to me, "Oh, grow up. Move forward in this walk. You've had the introduction. Move forward." And he says, "I want you to drink, not just drink milk anymore, but solid food. And you're not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not able." So he's talked about that, servants of Christ, being responsible and of this stewardship that he has. And he wants us, I think, to be responsible too. Immorality's been rebuked. Lawsuits against one another and dragging people to court's been rebuked. All of these things are just wanting to what? You know what it is? Something from the flesh. I can gain some money. I can gain status. I can gain whatever. People can look at me in this way or that way to gain that status of the flesh. And he wasn't wanting to live like that. In fact, he's been the example. He talked about that in chapter 9 of his liberties in Christ. And he was free in Christ, but he chose. And I think he wanted them to do that too. He chose to use his liberties to build up his brothers and sisters in Christ and not tear them down. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, if I'm going to do anything that's going to cause you to stumble, I will not do it. If there's anything that I am free to eat, but it would cause you to stumble, I will not eat it. And so he was concerned about others. And that's all part of that sanctification or growing up in our faith. But it was an introduction to faith that we began with Christ. And so in chapter 10, we're going to look at the first 13 verses. and my propositional statement is this. By faith, you and I, we have this introduction to salvation by God's grace, and it's all from God, and it's all of His doing and of His power. We've had this introduction into this spiritual walk with Christ. Our salvation is from Him. Let us continue to walk daily by faith. Let us continue to walk that spiritual walk by faith. We're going to read the first 13 verses here of chapter 10. And then he's going to give us some examples of this walk of spiritual walk, and then some things that are from the Old Testament. And then I want to relate these things to us today, because I think they're for us today. So beginning in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, it's my Bible entitles it, Avoid Israel's Mistakes. Avoid Israel's Mistakes. Verse 1, for I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now, these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the age have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptations will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. The word of the Lord for us tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together again tonight, and thank you for your word as we've read it. Lord, we ask that you would guide us through it and teach us and instruct us tonight. We just ask for your help. And we thank you for the time we can be together and study your word and learn and grow and have our faith move forward. And Lord, help us to apply the things that we learn to our lives and our walk with you each day. In Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. I'm going to back up just a couple of verses to chapter 9, there where it says, Paul had talked about the last time we were here. Therefore, he says in chapter 9, verse 26, therefore I run in such a way as to not without aim, and I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Or, you know, this isn't losing his salvation, but Paul wants to be living a life walking with Christ so that he is not disqualifying himself to be used of the Lord to reach others, to be used of the Lord to be a useful vessel. For there are some vessels in the house that are more useful than others, and there are some that have been broken, and the pieces can't be put back together and can't be used again. Paul doesn't want to be that broken vessel, disqualified. He wants to be a whole vessel used for the Lord's service. And so he says, I run in such a way as to be successful. I don't box without aim. I discipline my body and make it my slave so that I preach to others. I will not be disqualified. And so then he's going to go on, therefore, or for. And our first point is this, blessings quickly forgotten. Let's not do that. Blessings quickly forgotten. For he says, I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. So we know where he's going. He's going to the Old Testament, and he's going to Israel's exodus out of Egypt. And he's saying when they left, they were what? They were all under the cloud. That would be quite a sight to see, wouldn't it? the cloud that moved along. I've been reading some in the Old Testament about this, and the cloud that was there, even when they built the tabernacle and they set the tent up, it says the presence of the Lord in the cloud came down and rested on that tabernacle or on that place where they set up the Holy of Holies. And when it was time for the Israelites to move on, that cloud was lifted up and the cloud moved on, and they knew it was time to pack up and go. The cloud, they were all under the cloud. In other words, God's direction, God's leading was their blessing. You and I have a blessing of God's Word, God's Spirit that lives within us. I hope that we follow. It's not a cloud, but we have that spiritual blessing of God's Spirit that lives within us to guide us and direct us. They were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. And there again, they were there at the edge of the sea. They were trapped. Pharaoh's army was behind them. There was nowhere to go. And God said, just move forward. I can imagine they said, okay, but how? And God opened the sea miraculously. What a blessing that. Can you imagine that day? And it says they didn't just walk across on wet ground or muddy ground or wet, slippery stones. It says they walked across on dry ground. I mean, he miraculously parted the sea and then he dried it up instantaneously. For them to walk through the sea. What a blessing. God not only was their guide and director in the cloud, but he provided a way of escape for them to go through. What a blessing they had. What things they had seen already. They should be such a thankful people. He says, I don't want you to be unaware of the blessings that they had. They were under the cloud and they all passed through the sea and they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Baptized into Moses just meant that God gave them Moses. And they were baptized into his authority to lead them. In much the same way, you and I today, we have the blessing. Let's go back to Romans just a second. Romans chapter 6 tells us that. What shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Moses? No. We've been baptized into Christ. Here's a type in the Old Testament. Moses was their leader. Moses was the one that God had directed to come and to lead them in the Exodus, to follow the cloud, and they were to follow Moses. They were baptized into Moses to follow him because he was God's man. And here, you and I today, we're baptized into Christ, Christ Jesus. We've been baptized into his death. Therefore, if we've been buried with him through our baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might what? Walk in newness of life. And the introduction is we've believed the gospel. We've begun that spiritual walk with Christ and we're baptized into Christ. Baptized into him. And they were all baptized into Moses. And they all ate the same spiritual food, spiritual by identification. It doesn't say they all ate the same manna, but Paul describes here that manna that they ate. We know what he's talking about. They all ate spiritual food. You know, every day the Israelites got up and they had a lesson in trust. Every day they got up and they went out and said, you know, God was faithful yesterday and there was manna on the ground. I wonder if he's going to be today. There it is. And there it is. And there it is. And every day they ate that spiritual food and they were to learn to trust God for what they needed each day. You know, I read, I think it's in Deuteronomy. It says that manna tasted something like a thin wafer with a little bit of coriander seed and a taste of honey. And they ate that every day and God provided that every day. Not only did it provide it every day, but on the weekend, he provided double portions for them to eat. So they didn't have to go out on the Sabbath and pick up. It was enough to have for the whole 2 days. God provided that spiritual food, that manna. And we can relate that today. I think it's John chapter 6, verse 31. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that comes down out of heaven. You know, I can just imagine, as I read through this week, I can just imagine those two guys walking along with Jesus on the Emmaus Road. And he said, you fools, how slow of heart you are to believe all that was written about me in the Old Testament. And I think he probably talked about this. Do you know the manna that was given every day I'm the manna from heaven. I'm the bread of life. And so there we have that spiritual blessing for us. Let us not forget God's spiritual blessings to us. We have been saved. We've had this introduction into faith and salvation and this walk with Christ. And Christ provides our needs. He is like that spirit that lives within us. Is like that cloud over our lives that guides us, directs us. And we have that spiritual nourishment from God's word. And from our relationship with Christ, we have fed. I hope you feed yourself every day. You know, Helen and I have been on a little bit of a diet, and I haven't been feeding myself real well there. But I still feed myself real well on this. Okay, let's not miss a meal here. Okay, we're to feed on the spiritual food that God gives us from His Word, and as the Spirit guides us through that. And He says, "And all drank from the same spiritual drink." For they were drinking from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. You know, there were some rabbis that actually said in legend that a big boulder actually followed the Israelites everywhere they went. And they could just, you know, we go to the sink and turn the tap. They could just go back to the back part of the camp and get some from the rock that was following them. I guess just turn, maybe they put a tap on it and just turn the tap on the rock. But that's, you know, the thing that it's not just a rock or a boulder. In fact, the word that Paul uses here is Petra, not Petros, which is a boulder or a rock. But he uses Petra, which is a huge cliff, a stone, a massive rock. And that rock was what? Christ. And their sustenance was that massiveness of that rock that followed them. That rock, he even says, and that rock was Christ. That spiritual blessing that was manifested in a physical way was the same for us today, and that Christ is our what? You know, it talks about this many times in the Scriptures, in the Old and the New. Jesus is that cornerstone, that rock that holds everything together. That massive rock, that cliff, that fortress, that place that when we struggle and we need help, we go to where? We go to that rock to stand on. We stand on that rock every day, or we should. And we take that spiritual nourishment from there. In fact, this drink, this spiritual drink that they drank, you know, we could go to we're not going to turn there, but we could go to Jesus' encounter with a Samaritan woman at the well. And you know what she was thinking? You know, we think that way all the time. Physical, physical, physical. I want this physical thing. I'll just be happy if I have this thing. And the real blessing is in the spiritual blessing that God gives to us. But she there that day said, "Oh, I want some of that water you're talking about. I wouldn't have to come out here and draw water anymore. I wouldn't be thirsty anymore. This would save me so much time, and it would make my life so much happier. If I could have that spiritual water, where can I get that, Jesus?" You know what Jesus said? "It's me. I am the living water. I am the water that will begin inside and spring up to a living well forever, a spiritual blessing that will never end and never go away." And so let us not forget the blessings. They quickly forgot these because it says right here in the next verse, "Nevertheless, with most of those, God was not well pleased. They received all of these blessings. They were to learn faith and trust every day as the manna appeared on the ground. They were to trust as when they needed water, God would provide that out of that rock for them. And God did provide water for them. Just exactly the time they needed and as much as they needed. He would provide those things, and He provides spiritual blessings for you and I today. Nevertheless, most of them, God was not well pleased with, for they were laid low in the wilderness." That word in the Greek, it means to strew or to spread out over the sand. I did the math one time. I forget when I was preaching on this a long time ago. I did the math. I think if there was about 1.1 million Jews that came out of Egypt in the Exodus, and all of them that were 20 and over passed away in the 40 years, that they were burying about, I think it was about 4,000 or 5,000 burials a day. Their bodies were strewn across the desert for 40 years. Because of what? because they were men and they said, it's not enough, God, I want more. We'll see this. He's going to warn us here in a second. Don't forget your blessings that God has. You know, we sing the song, don't we? Count your blessings. We could probably take the rest of our time, not even go on with this, and just say, let's count our blessings and let's not forget them. Let's count the introduction we had into salvation when we first understood who Jesus was and what he offered freely to us in forgiveness and that relationship with him. Let us count our blessings in the church family that we have, that both encourage and we're in unity together around the gospel and around God's word and encouraging one another. Let us thank the Lord for the country we live in and the homes we have and the warmth we have and the friends we have and the jobs we have. But let us not get lost in those physical things. And we acknowledge that all of those things come from God to all of us, saved and unsaved. Really, God's grace rains down on the saved and the unsaved the same. And it says, you know, he says here, and I think the tying here is for unity, because you notice he says, what, 1, 2, underline these, 3, 4. Four times in those few verses, he says, they all. There's one way that they all did this. And there's one way for you and I to be saved, and that's in Christ and Christ alone. So they quickly forgot their blessings, but count your blessings and praise the Lord for them. So the example that he gives then, he says, now these things happened as examples for us. So he's applying it to the Corinthians there today that he's talking to, and I think it applies for us too. We can look back at the Old Testament and learn some lessons from what we've just read. Now, these things happened as examples for us so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved them. And that word craved is interpreted that they lusted after things. They lusted after things of the world. You know, I'm not saying things of the world are bad. You know, it isn't money that's evil. It's the love of money that's evil. It's our attitude toward things and what we crave after instead of praising God for what we have. And I've said this before, you know, it's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to have a nice house. But if we cling so tightly to those things that that's what really matters to us most, then that becomes an idol to us. That becomes sin to us. That becomes a distraction to our walk with Christ. So don't hang on to things of the world white-knuckled. Hang on to Christ. These things happened as examples or as types for us so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved or lusted after. And he says, then he goes on to say, do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. And this again goes back to the Exodus. And they were on their way to the promised land, and Moses went up on the mountaintop to talk to God and to receive the Ten Commandments. And the people all waited at the bottom of the mountain for Moses to come back. It's been 20 days now. Where is the man? It's been 30 days now. When is he coming back? 38, 39, he's not coming. We don't know what's happened to this guy. I know what we'll do. We'll strike out on our own. And you know, I always had the idea that they decided just we're going to chuck God and we're going to make this calf of gold and we're going to have an idol and we're going to worship the idol. But you notice what they said in the Old Testament? They said, Israel, this is your God that brought you up out of Egypt. And so they kind of decided, well, we'll make a God. We'll worship God in our way. We'll worship God the way we want to. And oh, don't we see that today? And that's simply idol worship. That's simply idol worship. We invent a God we like. We invent a God that we can touch and see. And we invent a God that doesn't convict us. He just sits there and we can bow down and he'll do what we want him to do. And we kind of control the situation. That just comes from the flesh and the sinfulness. He says, don't be idolaters as some of them were, that the people, they sat down to eat and drink and they stood up to play. And our second point is these examples of judgment of unbelief and of turning from God. So they became idolaters. And it says, nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. I read this week, you know, that idolatry and immorality are kind of just linked together. They just, one usually is right there with the other, and we see that in the religions of the Old Testament. This idolatry usually had some component of immorality or prostitution that went along as worship, as part of worship. And they kind of go along together, this idolatry and immorality of worshiping self or worshiping the God that we like. And then it becomes what? Well, it doesn't really matter what we do with our body because we're worshiping a God that loves us. And so they kind of slip into even more things. This slip into sexual immorality and trying God's patience and just leaving that God that brought them out. He says, don't let these be examples. Let them be types. Don't. And that word type is like a stamp. It comes from the word in the Greek tupos. And it means to like a ink, like a stamp, a template. So you stamp it over and over again. It says, don't let that be stamped on your life. To live like that. Don't let that be the mark of your life, of how you're living. To walk with God in a spiritual way is not to live according to the flesh. So they acted immorally, as some of them did. Don't do that. And 23,000, here's the judgment. 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. And to try the Lord is to say, we don't trust your power. Show us some more. In other words, you've given us this and that. We want more. We want to see more. And God had already provided all those things for them. In fact, here it talks about the serpents. And I wanted to go back there. That's in Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21, and beginning with verse 6. We'll start there. The bronze serpent. And as I read through this week, you know, you read through and you see some things. Sometimes you thought, I don't remember thinking that before, seeing that before. So they'd sinned, they'd grumbled. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned because we have spoken against the Lord, and you intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people. Now, wouldn't you think God would just like, if he answered that prayer, it just like the serpents would just poof, they're gone. Poof, they're gone. Poof, they're gone. And by the way, man's ideas would probably be, well, let's start a coalition on serpent eradication. And let's try to figure out a better serpent trap. And we'll get rid of these ourselves. That's man's ideas. But they asked God, they actually admitted their sin, and they asked God. They asked Moses to intercede for them, and Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, so they were still going to get bit. The serpents didn't just go away like they asked. You know, with sin, there's consequences to our sin. There are consequences to our sin. Let this be an example. As some, they grumbled and they griped, and God sent fiery serpents among them, and they asked, they sinned, we've died. But God didn't just take them away. Here's another, it's not only a test of faith, but I think it's a test of grace. I mean, a showing of grace from God. He said, he built a serpent, he made a fiery serpent out of bronze, he put it on a standard. And it'll come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. So the people were still bitten. And when they got bit, they knew they were in trouble. Well, what were they instructed to do? To look and live. Look and live. By faith, look to the serpent. That's right. In fact, Jesus talked about that. Here's the road to Emmaus again. Jesus talked about that probably. Here's a type of me to raise and look and live. And he talked with that about Nicodemus when he came in John chapter 3. He said, just like the serpent was raised by Moses, so the Son of Man must be raised up, that all who look to him will live. By faith, it's a spiritual walk. By faith, we've trusted in him. We've had our introduction and our baptism into Christ. By what? By things we've done? By snakes we've eradicated ourselves? No, it's by faith. By grace alone, we're saved. And here's an example from the Old Testament that the fulfillment of that is Christ on a cross. And we want him taken away, but God said, no, wait, they're still going to bite you. But if you'll look and live, you'll look and live. You need to trust me on this. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. You ever wonder how many people just said, that's silly? I'll go to the pharmacy. I'll get us some medication. It was by faith. By faith. Examples of judgment, of unbelief. They said they want more, and they grumbled and they griped, and they doubted God's power. So don't grumble, as some of them did. And they were destroyed by the destroyer. And this is a good example for us. What's the opposite of being grumbling and griping and murmuring? That's what that word means. To grumble is to murmur. And it also means that word murmur means to say it like this. Oh, that dirty, rotten guy is not helping me at all. Say it in a low voice. That's what it actually means. Just murmur in a low voice. You've seen it, haven't you? Murmuring around the corner, just that low voice where we're kind of just that grumbly, low, kind of growly. That's right. Come on. What's wrong with you? Don't be like that. He said, don't be grumbling and murmuring like some of them did. And the destroyer destroyed many of them. Now, these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. This instruction means a warning or a good counsel from God. At the end of the ages, we are at the end of the ages, by the way. Since Christ rose from the grave and ascended back up into heaven, and the men stood there and watched him go into the clouds, and the angels stood beside them and said, why are you looking up into the clouds? Because he's going to come back one day the same way. We're waiting for that. We're at the end of the ages, because that's the next step on God's eschatological plan or purpose, that he's coming back. So what kind of people should you and I be? Not grumbling. Content. Content in all that God has blessed us with, and heeding the warnings and the examples from the Old Testament that Paul says the people there at Corinth just thinking too much of themselves or thinking of fleshly things and not thinking to grow in their spiritual walk with Christ and not nurturing that, not praying, not thinking of the things of God, that what he has provided for them. They quickly forgot the blessings, and we can so easily do that today, and they can fall into that judgment. Don't be that way. Take these examples and learn from them. These things have happened to them as an example for you and I today, for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, he says, and our last point is, be warned and look to a faithful God. Be warned and look to a faithful God. And so we'll see that here. It says, now, these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our instruction, so that we would not do as they did, and the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he does not fall. And no temptation has overtaken you, but such as common to man. And God is faithful. And by temptation, you know, if you had this introduction into this faith in Christ, God will test you. God will test you. Why? To approve you. To prove that your faith is genuine and that you continue that walk with him despite your circumstances. God will give us tests in life. Tests of struggles, maybe with money, maybe with health, maybe with a job. Maybe with a relationship. But God will test you. So no temptation is overtaking you as such as common to man. And God is faithful. So be warned. Look to a faithful God. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure or persevere in it and through it, persevere to the end, until the end of the age, or until the Lord comes back, or until we go to be with Him. So don't be overconfident, don't be overcome, but be faithful overcomers of those things as we're tested. Be faithful overcomers of those things as we are tested. God had saved us for a purpose, and I want us to just to walk with Him and to live a life of faith in Him and to help others to know Him. And Paul wants these folks, we've seen that already, he wants them to grow in their faith. He wants to present the gospel to as many people as he can. He wants them to come to faith, many people to come to faith. Paul's, in fact, we looked at that last week, to those that were Jews, he became, you know, to a point, Jewish. So what? So we have a voice for the gospel with them. To those that were under the law, he became under the law. To a point. He wasn't trusting that, but what was his object of coming under the law with them? So they'd have a voice to present the gospel. To those that were without the law, he became without the law. So what? So they could have a voice of the gospel to them, to share the gospel with them. So just as God did not tolerate Israel's idolatry, their grumbling, their distrust, their trying God, so he will not tolerate those things today. The same today. So I wanted to give you three things, just as we close tonight. Three things, because it says that God will provide a way out of those temptations or out of those trials. Not necessarily make them go away, but persevere in and through them, through His strength for us. So I want to turn to 2 Timothy, just real quick here, and just read just a little bit there, and then I got just three quick things I want to verse 15 of 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, we'll begin with verse 15. Says the Apostle Paul writes here, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. You know, we go right back to 1 Corinthians where he said, I don't run without a purpose. I don't box without aim. I what? I discipline my body. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene among those who are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, that rock having the seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who names the name of the Lord will abstain from wickedness. Three things. Three things. The Lord knows that you've trusted Him. If you have trusted Him as your Savior, He knows who you are and He knows how you walk. Three things will help you in that walk. Number one, pray without ceasing. Pray. Pray without ceasing. When a temptation comes, don't build a new trap to try to fix it. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. Pray. Ask God to help you through that temptation. Lord, this is a test. Help me to be faithful. Help me to walk that spiritual walk, even though I don't see it today and it looks so bleak in front of me. Lord, help me with this. Start with prayer. Second, trust. Trust. Know this. What did it say? That no temptation has come upon you that isn't common to man. That God doesn't allow anything to happen to you that He hasn't filtered through Him. Trust. No matter what it is, the circumstance, no matter what it is, say, Lord, I don't understand this, but I know one thing. You said, you will not leave me. You will not forsake me. You said, you've loved me with an everlasting love. You say that I have a hope and an assurance of a place with you, and I will one day see your face, and you're going to come and get me. Lord, I will still trust you in the circumstance. Prayer and trust. And then thirdly, focus. Focus. And we could simply turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter, I have that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. Hebrews 12, 4. Hebrews 12, 4. Or 12:3, sorry, 12:3. Consider him. Focus on him. Consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Focus on him. Consider him. Consider all that he's done for you. Don't forget the blessings. Don't forget the blessings that God has brought to us. Don't forget the examples from Scripture of the judgment that came upon those who sought after fleshly things and sought to leave God's presence and sought to find fulfillment in this world where they'll never find that. Use these examples and be warned. Look to a faithful God in prayer, in trust, and focus or consider him. Consider him. Of all these empty. This is a good week this week to consider him, isn't it? And we had a good sermon this morning on him riding in on a donkey. You know, I'm sure the world wanted to see a white stallion and a king with a crown and a sword in his belt riding in to take the Romans down. And there was a much bigger enemy to defeat than that. A much bigger enemy. And he came in on a colt and did it. And he died for you and me on that rugged cross. Consider him. If you've not trusted him, consider what he offers. Forgiveness. A lifelong walk with him. And an eternal hope that the world doesn't give, the world doesn't even understand. The hope that is a confident expectation that we're living in the last age and he's going to come back any day. Consider him that came back alive that third day. And you and I don't walk with a idol on our shoulder we're carrying around, or we don't go home and bow down to a calf. We serve a living God. And yeah, I can't see him and you can't see him. Because it's a spiritual walk with him. And the cool thing is that God came so that we could walk with him. And that walk will never end. So when he tests us, let us not forget our blessings. Let us heed the examples and the warnings from God's word. And let us consider the faithful God who loves us and saves us. By his power and by his blood on the cross. Good lessons for us. Good lessons for the Corinthians. I don't know who listened to this. I hope some did. And considered these things. And turned from the way they were living. And the selfish or the prideful or the disunity or whatever it was they were living under. And turned to a living God that offered them so much more than what this world could ever offer. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for your word tonight. And each day, as we turn to it, we just thank you for the blessings that are there for us, the truth that's there to guide us and direct us. Lord, keep us close to you each day. Keep us faithful as we walk this journey of faith. Lord, thank you for the introduction that we've had into it in Christ, baptized into his death, raised with him from death into life eternal. And Lord, we give you praise for all of this. And we thank you for this time together. And the thoughts that you placed on our hearts tonight. Help us to pray. Help us to trust. And help us to consider and focus upon you each day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.